Welcome back to Financial Therapy. It's not just about the money. I'm personal financial planner, columnist, and financial therapist, Rick Kaler. Research tells us that 90% of all financial decisions are made emotionally, not logically. For nearly four decades, I've been helping people make better money decisions. So what makes my financial worldview different from most financial experts? I blend the nuts and bolts of financial advice with the emotions that drive making them. Good money decisions are not just about the money. So let's get started with today's episode. Welcome back to another episode. And I was delighted in the last episode to have Susan Bradley with us. And we're going to continue the conversation. So welcome back, Susan.
Thank you, Rick. Great to be here as always.
And what we didn't get a chance to really talk about was a lot of the work that Susan does with financial planners. And what struck me is, as those of you that were listening to Susan and we were talking much about transition, her work was, I think, totally focused, 98% focused on financial planners.
Yes.
In the beginning. And you've been doing this work for a couple decades focused on financial planners. Mm-hmm. And to any person that is familiar with financial therapy listening to you, I think they'd probably be blown away that you're not a licensed therapist. As neither am I.
That's a compliment. Thank you.
Well, going back to what we talked about last time, you're doing that. I think that's part of the doing, not talking about therapeutic modalities, is actually working on myself. But I wanted to talk about the fact you're doing this work, you're bringing this work to financial planners predominantly. And another full disclosure, I've been through Susan's course. It took me 10 years to make the... she'd send out an offer and I'm like, oh no, I can't make half of those because of travel. And then finally, the planets aligned. And as I'm reading your manual for your coaching course, I think it's 300 pages, right?
Give or take.
Every other sentence I wanted to highlight. I'm like, OMG, this is good stuff. And as I'm just thinking about stuff that I've read recently, I can't think of anything that has struck me as being so complete to everything that I've learned about humanity, about myself, just about how all of the interior and the words of our good friend Dick Wagner. How the interior side of money works. So I thought it was brilliant.
Thank you. Thank
you. And it's only available if you take the course.
That's true.
There may be another way to monetize that. I have told you that I thought your work is so, so good. I think it's something that every financial therapist should have exposure to. I don't know of another place where you can get this specific focus on transition. And I know when the first time that I heard it, I'm like, oh, transition? We don't do transition as financial planners. We do mutual funds. We do rates of return. We do plans on insurance, but not transition.
And I'm reminded, Gail Coleman gave the keynote to the Financial Therapy Association in 2023. And she started off somewhere saying, well, when Rick Kaler told me about this in 2008, that you're going to be forming this financial therapy, or they're working on this thing called financial therapy, she said, I told him, oh, great, another way to pathologize people. And she says, well, I was wrong. Here I am. And so I just see such a huge link between the work that you do and the work that a financial therapist does. And I'm going to guess there's no training in the LMFT programs, the Masters of Counseling, clinical counseling programs on transition. Now that's a big statement. They might say, well, the whole thing is transition that we're talking about. But you have such a focus, such a real focus on that. So I don't know where exactly I'm going with that. Just to call out that. Any listener to this podcast that's interested in the intersection of money and emotions, who's doing any type of advising to people around this, whether you're a planner, a coach, or a therapist from your main discipline, needs to take a hard look at what you're doing. So maybe just talk to us a little bit about what you are doing.
Yeah, well, thank you for everything that you said, Rick. It means a lot. And I am pretty focused on this. In the beginning, in 2000, when we started, people thought we were going after money in motion. Because when life changes, money moves. And so people that are in those circumstances have a higher degree of vulnerability, easier to sell stuff to or they would say give advice to, which means sell to. And I was really offended with that. It had not crossed my mind. We were working with lives in motion. So, but that distinction between the profession and where we're trying to go with our work, that gap is not quite as wide, but it's still there. So I just had to stay focused, because in all honesty, I didn't know my this from my that about this. I just knew there was something there that needed that I needed to figure out, and I had a fabulous community of people to test out the idea. So we've been moving forward. And in 08 is when the financial crisis happened, we realized that this work was not just nice, it was absolutely necessary. So we got more focused. That's when we decided that we needed to, the community voted on the name Financial Transitionist. They voted on this on a certification, which meant that we had to have a course. And if we had to have that, we had to write a textbook. And so we set about doing that. And even when we did it, it didn't feel right for a long time. You just keep doing it. It's very human. People involved are very human. So together we were figuring it out. I call it FIO work. So when I got after pandemic, I started to realize I had the ownership that you're just describing, that this really is right. It's good. We're where we had wanted to be. So that felt great. So we made some other changes to make it more available. I didn't want to get distracted with other tracks. I just want to stay on my track. But in 2023, we have been invited to think that differently here and there for different groups. I hadn't thought about the financial therapists, but it would apply. And the different thinking is they wouldn't necessarily need and want everything a financial planner wants. Our program, our 12-month certification, is built by planners for planners, highly, highly effective for practical, universal, repeatable process, scalable, all that. But a therapist doesn't really need that. But there are some basics that we have worked with long enough so we can communicate it in many different platforms, different ways to make it useful. We have had therapists take our program and they tend to love it. They're great participants, but it doesn't really stick. You know, it's too much. So I think something more focused. We're doing something or we're proposing for the people working in the legal settlement business. They're not in the, even if they do financial planning afterwards, that experience is rough. So how do we take what we know and help them for the 2 weeks that they work with someone to get ready for a life decision that will alter everything? So we're already in that headspace. It would be fun. And I would want to noodle with you on what parts really are worth it, are essential or basics, maybe a better way, basics for financial therapy, and take our depth for those basics, but not all over. I that should be easy to do next year, not tomorrow. I'm a quick start.
As I'm thinking about that, Susan, I'm thinking about my experience in the financial transitionist program. You used to require or heavily suggest that somebody that takes the coaching program have experience in financial planning, that they know and understand financial planning. And I'm wondering if there would need to be much, if any, adaptation to a financial therapist. In that your program is not heavy on the numbers. Now, maybe I say that because I am a planner. I get the numbers. But I don't think you're teaching really how to do financial planning.
No. In fact, they have to have 5 years experience client facing. This is an advanced, you have to get your CFP and or whatever your primary is and really know that so that you can dive deep. We have some initial things that you can take before the 5 years is up and that sort of thing. But it's for people who know their primary profession and this is going underneath and adding that human element.
Exactly.
And it's a serious process. It's a very serious process. In fact, we're now calling that combination of the human and the technical, we're calling it authentic intelligence. It is the blend of the two. It's not just the blend, it's the unification. We're following the consilience format for the unification of silos. And so you come out with, it's like a 1 + 1 = 4. But even that, for our mastery level people, they've been doing that. We're just naming it and understanding it so we can talk about it and advance it. That's the advancement of our advanced work. So I think there's always more. That's the nature of life, is right, to evolve. Evolution is not optional. It's not easy. But evolution is much more fun if you pay attention and you're part of it. And that's where we are right now with the advance. And maybe what we're finding, just talking to you, it's always an experience. It's always like I get new discoveries. Maybe what we're talking about is in authentic intelligence, maybe there's a little more space to create something for other professions that are so closely aligned to what we've done for a long time. Maybe we know what we've done well enough so we can apply. Remember the work with the NFL? You were interested in that. Yeah. I still work with them sometimes. after 18 years. And I can tell you, we didn't get it back then. We made some differences, but we weren't as ready for them as we are now. It just takes time. So we're at a new point of our evolution. We named it Authentic Intelligence. I'm not afraid of AI, artificial intelligence. This is our AI.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm
nothing artificial about it.
No, it's the opposite. It's
exactly.
So beautiful. But even in the tech world, when we came up with the term authentic intelligence, my husband, it just popped out of his head one day, and I thought, wow, cool. And I went to look, and it's out there, and it means human and data. And we put it into our track, into what we do. So, but it isn't just the interior, exterior exist. It's the whole human. So it's not thinking interior. It's just looking at the whole. So it's the two silos unifying. And it, so it may be time. I know I'm riffing off my new work, but because I'm always more interested, you know, in the new work.
Exactly.
but it may be time. And I don't think it's a 12-month program. What we're mm-hmm. doing for the others we're talking about is some kind of a workshop and then follow up for a couple of months and then have a way to stay connected to some degree. And having to design it consciously, knowing that we're not in our space. What does it look like from our space to their space and back and forth?
Mm-hmm.
For the structures, Tracy Cass had written a great book. She's one of our CEFTs, and she's been in that world for 20 years. So it's easier to do it for them because we have someone in that space who thinks like we do. So like doing something like this with you would be much easier and a better outcome than if I just woke up one morning and said, oh, I think I want to write something for a financial therapist, because I'm not a financial therapist. So there has to be some collaboration.
Well, you're more of a financial therapist than you think.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah. Let me address. Anybody can call themselves a financial therapist, just like anybody can call themselves a financial planner. There's no regulation. It's a term that's out there in the universe. I suppose anybody could call themselves a financial transitionist,
but not a
certified.
No, we own both.
Oh, do you? Very smart.
Well, yeah, because I came from the financial planning, the CFP world.
Very
but you know
smart.
What? I mean, we have to, come on. You know, we're in a whole new world, and I have 23 years of trademarks and copyrights. Does it matter in the world that we're in now with ChatGPT and all of that? You know, so I own it, but we'll see. We'll see. But I owned it really to give the public confidence that these people have had the kind of training that we say that they have had. And that
Exactly.
And it is not easy to create and maintain a certification. It changed the whole business model. So you have to take it seriously.
Right. And it's maintaining that integrity that's important. So like with a certified financial therapist, they have to come from one discipline, financial planning, CFP, master's in financial planning or whatever it would be, or from the discipline of therapy, which would be a licensed therapist by and large. Mm-hmm. But they don't have to have both. Mm-hmm. They need training in the other discipline of some type, but not necessarily formal. And so to that degree, what you're doing is within that realm. It's just not labeled that. And anybody who is a financial therapist is going to gain a lot of tools. I mean, the one thing about your training that is somewhat different from other trainings is you've got developed tools. that you can use with someone going through transition. That's something to some degree that a lot of therapists don't have tools. A lot of financial therapists have to develop their own tools in helping people in the areas that they've been engaged for. So we can explore that, but I don't think there's much changing that needs to be done with your program.
Maybe. Yeah, and that would be good. I think it's deciding what really are the basics. What's the bedrock? Mm-hmm. If you had that bedrock, it would make a measurable difference in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that there are those, and they've been tested in so many different situations over the years. I'm a creative, so I'm in this space, so I create. So we have tools and protocols that have spanned a pretty wide range and tested in 5 continents. So we're confident. The ones that have stuck, not all of them have stuck. We've created things that were just like, not really. We have those, and it's not the tool as much as the application. The tool structure
right,
awareness.
Exactly. Yep.
And we love visuals because it holds attention to a visual, and it's easier for our brains to comprehend visually than in text. I read recently it was 60,000 times faster with the visual than the reading text. And those numbers are pretty big, but it's faster. That's what I know for sure. So we try and put it into some visual format.
Yes, and the application of the tool is, that's 90% of it, isn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like writing a book, 90% of writing a book is how are you going to market it?
Oh. You know, I never thought of that when I wrote Sudden Money. I just got really lucky that somebody knew somebody and introduced me to Wiley, and all of a sudden I was published, you know, in a proper way and all of that stuff way back in the late 90s, I was just really writing it for my peers. And I was into financial literacy. So I was writing it that way. And so it has a life. It has a life, as your work has a life.
I am glad you wrote it. And we just have a minute or so left. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Yeah, the easiest way, Sudden Money is the name of the parent company, and that's hard to forget. So suddenmoney.com, and there's a chat box there, and we have a live person on that most 24, not 24/7, but pretty close. So that's a good way to do it. My email is susan@suddenmoney.com. And I'm really open for conversations. Every time someone reaches out, I learn something. So I welcome conversations like this, but talking to you about this is like percolating, you know, it's it's just great new ideas and aha. So thank you.
Yes.
Thank you for having me on. The world is shifting. And I think all of us on this beautiful planet are aware that life is different. And we're just figuring it out. And, you know, the pandemic, think about the pandemic as a transition. The pandemic, the time of COVID and all, that was an ending. It was a really messy, horrible ending for most people. Some people actually miss it. It was a lovely time for them. So it had all the mix, and it was the ending of all the norms as we know them. And now that it's supposedly over, I have to be careful with that, but we feel like it's over. And now life is not the same. Life is different. The deeper the disruption, the longer the passage. So we're in a collective deep passage. And it doesn't take more than 5 minutes of reading the news that you know it's not just the disruption at your grocery store or for your building supplies, or some organization made some new shocking kind of statement or did something. It's like all over. And I would say that that 5 years is probably longer. We'll look back on this and we'll have names for it. We'll call it the pandemic, but life is being altered and shaped as you and I are talking today. It's a big deal.
It is a big deal. Well, thank you for percolating with me as I'm reciprocating in the percolation too. So thank you so much, Susan. You do such good work, great work, outstanding work in the world. And I do hope that anybody listening to this is going to take advantage of this and look you up, take a look at what you're doing.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you. Back at you.
Take care.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
You too. Bye.
Thanks for joining me, Rick Kaler, for another episode of Financial Therapy. It's not just about the money. This is where I combine the nuts and bolts of financial advice with the emotions that drive making them. Remember, every financial behavior, whether it appears illogical to you or others, makes perfect sense when we understand the underlying beliefs, feelings, and thoughts. Sign up for my weekly blog at financialawakenings.com. I hope you'll join me again for our next episode.